You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Somebody sent me an email this morning about the caravan of people that are moving up. First of all, it takes no small amount of courage to pack your trash up and, because your life sucks so much, put a bunch of cash in your pocket to, I mean, I would do it. If I was living in some on-your-ass country like Honduras or someplace, I'd so be out of there in a heartbeat. Yeah. But you know, I will tell you, there's a silver lining in all of it, and that is, you know, our immigration system is busted. It's busted to shit. So, I mean, it's good. All these pictures are good. All this stuff is good. It just shows you, you know, they show up at the border and say, I'm leaving, I'm seeking political asylum, I'm persecuted. You know, and then what are authorities legally allowed to do or not do? And again, it points out the problem that this guy points to, right, in our country.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more.
No enemy in the field has done more than the American Congress.
To harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolution.
You know, and so it's just, I think it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic, you know. And so, again, we talk about what changes it. What does change it? And so I don't know, you know, in order to, again, I lay out a scenario in which you're not going, these people are not going to self-deport no matter what Ann Coulter says. Okay. And, how do you solve the problem? You know, how do you solve the problem? Well, the first thing is you have to stop the inflow. That's not a problem. When you have 10 million people in your country that got here illegally, who the hell can say that's not a problem? You know? So, look, we got to stop the flow in order to deal with this other group. Like, how do you get around that? I don't get it. So anyway, so again, I think that this I think the pictures of this, what the immigration officials in this country have to deal with relative to our legal immigration problem and how broken it is, I think it's a good thing. Get it up there on the front page, man. Get it up there on the front page, and then hopefully it's an election issue. Fix this. So we can get beyond it as a country and focus on other things. Are you not capable of that? Answer to that? I don't know if we're capable of it or not. Probably not. I mean, it's a hard question. If it's a hard question, does that mean Congress take action? Let me just tell you, I'm not part of the Mensa Club or anything like that. I'm not that smart. But I know people that are, and I have stayed in a Holiday Inn Express. And so, based on all of that, I conclude that it is too hard for our elected officials, because even though they get elected, they don't go there to do the people's work. They don't pass budgets. They don't do so. Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes I get over my skis on I won't say on Monday, but whatever. So hope you had a good weekend. I went to a baseball game on Saturday. I worked on my computer network. Yeah. My old router, not so much, man. It was dying. I don't know if it was dying. It's just technology has passed it up. Phones were more capable, so I had to go out and find a new router. That's right. And then I had to replace the 50-foot cable that my dog with species identity crisis, Joe, chewed through because I locked him in the studio by mistake. So anyway, so that was my weekend. Went to see the Yankees play the Angels on Saturday night. It's pretty, let me just tell you, let me lay out a problem for you. It's a problem when you have it's your home game, and it sounds like there's more fans from the other team in the stadium. Okay, that's a problem. Now, if you're not a sports fan, you're probably saying, "Really, Mac? Come on." Here's the problem that irritates me, and I'm a Yankee fan, and so in the top of the first, the Yankees are hitting, and all of a sudden you hear this "Let's go Yankees" cry around the stadium, and I'm not talking about like, you know, the big mouth drunks that are there, and you know, they're all over the place, but there's not that many of them to create that much noise. So so how does that happen? It would never happen on the East Coast, okay? Well, the question is, so why does it happen on the West Coast? Okay, there's a lot more transplants out here. People that grew up in the East moved to the West. Not so many people grew up West and move East. Okay, just, I don't know, for whatever reason, doesn't happen. But I think there's another phenomenon there. This whole ticket broker thing, I think that, for instance, if you own season tickets to the Yankees and there's a big series, you go to those. You don't sell your tickets to some carpetbagger from another part of the country. Yeah, if you go to those games, you know, they're Yankee fans at those games. But in the West, I don't know. I think teams allow ticket scalpers, essentially, to buy up their buy up seats, and then they put them for sale online. For instance, if you went to go to the game, you had to get them through a ticket broker. There's no tickets for sale by the Angel. So I don't like that. I think that sucks. I think there should be some type of, you have to verify, you know, if how many tickets you're going to buy. Where's all this money going to? It's not going to the baseball team. It's going by these guys, these businesses that go in and buy up all these tickets and then jack the price up. I don't like that. I don't like that one a bit. Cause you had a whole bunch of Yankee fans in Anaheim Stadium going crazy. And yeah. So I was on, my daughter, my son, Mike's wife, we all went to the game. And so I said, we got to get there early. Why? Why do we got to leave early? Well, because we got to get there early because it's supposed to be sold out or close to it. Judging by the number of tickets that are for sale online, there's not that many. So I get blowback from that. So we finally get there. And then Yankees score 10 runs in the first two innings. Game's over. People rolling in the third inning. Hey, man, sorry. Game's over. Have a seat. Go get something to eat. But this thing's done. But it was fun. They shot fireworks off, but if you stay for that and you're going to be in that traffic, yeah, you're going to spend the whole evening there. So we left, I want to say, bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth, something like that. Tried to beat the traffic, still got involved in it, which wasn't. And then the network thing. Yeah, the network thing. Just how you slowly, you look at your, for whatever reason, all of a sudden something gets your attention relative to your network, how slow it is. And for me, it's a big deal, right? Because this show comes out of my network. When the show's over in 2 hours and 46 minutes, it streams on the network. So the network's kind of a big deal here. And so I had to go do some consumer research, what's the best router on the market, not only wireless, but has to support landlines, LAN type stuff. So you can run it from the router to desktop computer, make sure that it's fast so you can stream audio. Blah, 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 blah. So I locate the one, verify it on a couple different sources that it's one of the top rated. Go get it. But it's just cable. Yeah, 50 feet of cable. $40. Can you believe that? Cat 6 cable. And if you want Cat 7, which is even faster, yeah, they do things with cabling, if you don't know this kind of stuff. They do things with cabling that insulates the wire inside the wire. Yeah. That way there's not as much electrical interference between the wires as they transmit, which degrades the signal. Did you know that? Yep. And the farther you transmit that, the more interference you get. So I did that. So Colleen and I, went to work on the internet and then we cooked steaks. I have to tell you, I own a Big Green Egg. Yeah. I did a remote. Actually, back in the day up in North Dakota, the chef, like he does here, would come on my show every Friday. And so, I get a call from a hardware store. Hey, would you come out and do your show from here? We're having a big barbecue, a grill, like, sale. I mean, I live in California, so the weather's nice. People grill year-round. But if you live in bad weather, you know, there's kind of a grilling season because you don't want to go outside when it's 10 below. So you tend to, you know, you winterize your grill and you dust it off. And then late April, early May, you get that thing out and you clean it up and you get it ready because we're going to, yeah. So anyway, about that time of the year, I know that because I was coaching baseball and we had a baseball game on Saturday. But anyway, I'll do it because they normally paid money for me to do it. So I'd be happy to. So, and I know the guy who owns the hardware store, he's a good dude. So go there and they got all these, and Kim had been telling me about the Green Egg. Man, this green egg is just the best. So anyway, guy sits down and we do this show and he sells like 20 of these things, between 15 and 20. He said the most I've ever sold, you know, in a weekend thing is like 6. I said, come on, man. Everybody listens to this show. Okay. Everybody listens to this show. So he said, hey, look, I'll sell you one at my cost. I'll even come over and set it up for you. It's like, and so we had your basic Weber kettle, $50. So we spent, I can't remember how many $100 on it, but let me tell you, it's awesome. And I even, over the course of last year, I wasn't even using the right charcoal and following the directions. So about 2 weeks ago, I went and bought the right charcoal, and we'd used it before, but you know what? It burns really clean. Yeah, how stupid am I? It burns really clean. Doesn't leave a lot of ash. When you shut the grill down, the charcoal goes out, and you can reuse it again the next time. Yeah, but it cooks awesome. Never burns. There's good clearance between the coals and the grill and stuff like that, so it never burns. And 2 years ago, I wanted a digital meat thermometer. Yeah, so I get a digital meat thermometer for Father's Day. And Patrick, the lieutenant, lieutenant, there's a captain now and a lieutenant. There used to be two lieutenants, but now there's a captain. The lieutenant, I don't want to say he's a tightwad, but he squeaks when he walks. Greek, 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 yeah. Hey, Patrick, dump some oil down the cheeks of your ass. You're squeaking again. So anyway, he's like, what do you want for Father's Day? I said, you're going to love this, bro. He says, what? And I said, $39. You can split it three ways, okay? That's $13 a piece. He says, what? I said, yeah, $13 a piece, digital meat thermometer at Home Depot. So he couldn't get out of the house fast enough. Yeah, he's like, let me do this. Let me seal this deal before he changes his mind and have to go deeper into my pocket. So digital meat thermometer with that's Bluetooth capable, so you download the app. So you get the right charcoal, you fire the app up, you say, I want this thing at medium rare, and you throw them on the grill. Forget about it. So now we do ribeye steaks the right way on Sunday night. The other thing I've learned, buy better meat. Yeah. Don't, if you get it off the rack, in the supermarket. Yeah, it's a ribeye steak, but you know what? I don't know what cow that comes from, but that's not a good cow. Go over to the butcher section, get it out of the butcher section, or go to the butcher shop. I've got a steak for like $6, I've got steaks for $12, and I've got steaks for $22. Guess which one tastes the best? I'm sorry to say this. Yeah, the $22 steak. Although the $12 steak is not bad. Not bad. So then we ultimately did that last night. The other thing that I should probably mention, and I've fought it for a couple years, but I've had people over the course of the last 6 months tell me, hey, Max, you should start a GoFundMe thing, and, you know, how do we help out? And I said, and I tell them, I said, well, you know, does that smack of begging for money and blah, blah. And they're like, no, man, we love to listen. It helps. Trust us. And so I had somebody recently crawl up my ass about it. And so if you care to, support Allmarine Radio, there's a mechanism now that you can do it. And all you got to do is you go to the website. If you go to the website, if you go to About Us, very last tab on the right, down below it says GoFundMe. So if you care to support the work that we do, and again, if you don't know the actual mission of Allmarine Radio, you could read it there, but I'll read it to you. The mission of Allmarine Radio is to provide a place where current and former Marines, family members, and other veterans or concerned citizens can connect with the culture of the United States Marine Corps. while connected, we promote post-combat related mental health awareness in order to enhance the quality of life of our extended tribe across the board. So what does that mean? So let me get my secret decoder ring out. Post-combat related mental health. You get this thing attached to you when you go fight for your country. And I don't think most of us understand it very well. And we all say, yeah, I can handle my stuff. And we don't really understand why we're mad, or mad isn't the right word, why we get angry so quick, why that anger explodes. Our families don't understand it, and so it causes turbulence. Okay, so our mission here is to create awareness about it, in that you're not going to get over it. You're going to learn to live with it, and in order for you to live with it, sometimes you need to talk to people. Sometimes you need to be medicated, but all that should be on the long road of becoming full up round and using that experience as a growing experience and not a debilitating experience, because it doesn't need to be debilitating. There's a thing called post-traumatic growth, and you can be a part of that. And so that's one. And then again, it's not just for guys who go off to war, but it's for family. It's just as much for family members to get to understand us. And let me just tell you one thing. If the one thing that I've learned, and again, I have to footnote this, and it's not mine, but it's from Lance Y. My gunny in 1993. And he passed on the oral tradition of post-combat related mental health when he said to me, you know you're never going to get over this. And he's become a bit of a recluse. So, but anyway, if I can't tell you how many emails I've received from either Marines or family members when they hear that. And the most recent one I got was, I was, you know, being a mom, I was trying to help him get over it and be the guy that he was. And then I heard your program, because he was listening to it, so I decided to listen to it. And it made absolute sense to me. He's normal. He's not getting over it. So what we need to do is support him and help him. And what he needs to do is help himself. Okay? And so those are the coolest part. The coolest part of this whole thing are those emails. Because for those of us who've seen the courage and selflessness of Marines and sailors in combat, and you've done it multiple times, you've done it for years and years and years, it changes you. It changes you. And so you never get over it. And you hear every person that comes on this show that's been a leader or fought say the same thing. Yeah, I don't know that I could put it into words. I can try, though. So to share that knowledge with extended family so they can cope and adjust, and so they benefit from our experiences. But that is the one piece of advice that generates more email to me than any other. You're not getting over it. You're not getting over it. And once you understand that, there's an aha moment that we're like, so I'm not fucked up. Well, you are, but, you know, you're fucked up like everybody else, right? And with that, they laugh. That's funny, because it is. And then you say, okay, so all this is stuff that people deal with that they go fight for their country. Yes, 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 yes. Your job is to go get the help that you need. You know, for some people, it's listen to All Marine Radio. Understanding that everybody's affected by that stuff. And the more we stay connected, the more we talk about it, the better you're able to live with it. Are there still things that are going to drive you crazy, and is your anger still going to explode? Yeah, but maybe it explodes for a very short period of time. Maybe other people around you don't just get up and leave, you know? Maybe somebody says something funny, or maybe somebody stands up and holds your hand and says, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, so all those things, I mean, it's so that you don't become alienated and go down that road, because that's the road that we endeavor to stop. All right, the next bullet is peer support. All right, we promote peer support in order to maintain the bonds that keep us united, mutually supporting. It's a kind of an infantry term. No, not an infantry term, military term. But in the infantry, we use it a lot, right? Weapon systems are mutually supporting. Machine guns have mutually supporting systems. So if one goes down, another one can pick up its job. So that's why I use that term. In order to maintain the bonds that keep us united, mutually supporting, and strong. So what does that mean? That means I have to endure the gunner and the rest of the ass clowns, okay? Yep. So that's what that means. Why is that significant? Because they know. They know you. They know the tone of what you say and how it works. They know when to reach out. And that's important. It's important because we've all dealt with suicide. And it sucks. It sucks ass. And so all over the country, groups of veterans reconnect through Facebook, just through texting, through whatnot, because it's easy to do. And it's good. And so we support that. And suicide awareness. So we do all those things to promote, don't be afraid to talk about it, don't be afraid to reach out, and also suicide awareness among veterans. Hey, if you're going down that road, pick up the phone. Talk to somebody. I'm in a bad place, man. I need to talk to somebody. And so that's the mission of All Marine Radio. And then we talk about other veterans' issues that may affect veterans on their lives. So that's what we do. All right. And so anyway, long-winded answer to my own consternation about looking like a loser for putting up a GoFundMe account to keep All Marine Radio on the air. So, anyway, there you have it. The Dan Lamont from the Washington Post is going to join us today. He was just in Afghanistan. And if you listened to the program last week, you heard Roger Turner, who just came back from being in Afghanistan for a year. So we'll hear Roger Turner, and we'll hear what Roger has to say. No, I'm sorry. If you heard Roger Turner talked about a different kind of advising. And I think it's interesting that you have this kind of dichotomy. You have people that say, and Tim Lynch said it to me last week because I talked to him about something. And we were talking about advising. And he said, yeah, there's guys, man. Unless you have skin in the game, unless you're out living in the ville, it won't work. Like, I don't know about that. Why does one type of advising fit all situations? And so what Roger Turner laid out in his conversation with Michael O'Hanlon at the Brookings Institute was a form of advising that, one, doesn't create dependency. We're here to support you. But if we create dependency and you don't ramp your stuff up, then guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work for you, ultimately, in the long run. Two, the reason that type of advising is important as Americans is that our critical vulnerability, our center of gravity, is casualties. Much more significant than money. Casualties get our asses out of more things. Beirut, we packed up and left after the barracks fell down. What was it, 263 Marines and sailors killed. Somalia, when did we unass Somalia? After the whole Black Hawk Down thing. So, it is our center of gravity, and you got to protect it. So how do you do that? Well, you hopefully create a way of advising. And I think initially you do have to be out and about with them, right? I think initially you have to. But we've been there in both countries, Iraq and Afghanistan, for long enough that we don't need to maybe do that way anymore. And I think so if I could draw, so fiscally, it costs less money. In terms of advising, you're not creating dependency. In terms of your own center of gravity, you're protecting it. But the key thing is winning the peace, right? We're there. We fought the kinetic peace to win the peace. However, you can't fight your way out of a civil war most of the time, okay, out of an insurgency. So what are we seeking to do? We're seeking to let our Afghan partners know that we're not leaving this time. We're there for the long term, and we're there in such a way that we can sustain this, which sends the message to the little Taliban who live in the country that you're probably going to want to sit down and talk to us and reach a political solution here, okay? And so that may take a while to get them to understand that. And the way you do it is you kill it. You have to kill them. But this lends itself to greater capability by the Afghan army to include developing its fixed wing and rotary wing aviation platforms and fire support so that they can do it on their own. But ultimately, doing it this way leads to a sustained presence there, which leads to the political settlement. So, anyway, Lamoth was in Afghanistan earlier this month. He just got back maybe a week, 10 days ago. So he of the Washington Post writes on military stuff. He's going to join us in 27 minutes. And then we'll get a chance to talk to the one and only Michael Musselma. And I know everybody looks forward to that. So, good morning to you on a Monday morning. All Marine Radio gets going. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Hey. And I don't have anybody to dedicate this to this morning. So this is dedicated to every Marine that's deployed today who goes out there and does their job and gets up and is out there on the frontiers of democracy or getting ready to go. So this is dedicated to you.
We have fought. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
On a Monday, Quantico, sunny and 59, two weather advisories. You know, one of them is a small craft advisor. Red flag warning. For what? Small craft advisory and a local pollen alert. What exactly is a red flag weather warning? Red flag warning remains in effect until 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time this evening for strong winds and low relative humidities for much of Maryland, the District of Columbia, portions of northern and central Virginia, and portions of eastern. Humidity around 20%. Winds 15 to 20 miles an hour out of the northwest with gusts up to 35. All right, there you have it. That's what a red flag warning is, those of you who don't know. I'm familiar with red flag. When they put the red flag up, that means it's not black flag, so you're not going to get in trouble. Somebody falls out. Camp Lejeune is sunny and 63. You know, do you remember when I would be waiting for the weather to load and stuff like that? I don't have to wait anymore. Yeah, my router sucked, man. It was awful. Cloudy in 67 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds at 44 in Big Timber, Montana. That means it'll be in probably the low 60s today in Montana. Maybe the 50s. They need a little weather there up there. Mostly cloudy in 58, 29 Palms. Clouds in 58 at Pendleton. Dark cloud in 74 in Okinawa. It's warmed up there. Mars is warmed up as well. You know, I don't know if you notice this, but I do. When there's a warming trend, it seems, other than the northern plains, like up in Montana and stuff like that, it affects everybody. When it's hotter in Okinawa, it's hotter in Marja. I don't know. I'm just saying. Marja, dark, clear, and 94 degrees right now. Fighting season is upon us. The wind chill in Marja is 94. Winds are out of the northwest at 13. On Tuesday, looking for a high of 102. As Mother Nature begins to stretch and get ready for the warming season that's about to crack. That's right. All right. A reminder, if you're on Amazon Prime and you haven't watched Bravo, watch it, okay? That's an order. Watch it and review it, okay? And then share it, okay? There's incredible mental health lessons there relative to post-combat related mental health, okay? So, with that said,
arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side. And that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch. Slammed me against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem, the wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God, you know, you're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor is a story of Bravo Company 126. It's a documentary film about the 77-day siege at Quezon. But the film speaks for all Marine veterans and every Marine who's ever worn the uniform. It's a story produced by a grunt who was there for the entire siege. It's history over the lip of a trench told by 14 Marines and one Navy corpsman. It's award-winning. It's not a pro-war or anti-war film, and you need to know that. It's available on Amazon Prime right now. Watch it, review it, and share it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .49 here on the West Coast. Time to check some news headlines. The as far as the Marine Corps goes, interesting story last week, and it's still running, but with a focus on automation, the Commandant was at Brookings, and I'll see if I can dust that off and find it, and we'll play that this week. Again, we heard him last week, but, quote, "I don't know what war is going to look like in the future," the Commandant of the Marine Corps said. "I think things that fly in the sky, the great majority of them, there will not be human beings at the controls. There will be a human somewhere else directing that thing." Yeah, and which spawned the debate, who plays in the volleyball game? Who's Maverick? Right? No fighter pilots? Come on, how does the world survive without that? Yeah, it's distressing, trust me. But it's coming. For instance, you have to take care to protect those guys, right? What happens if you can create an air platform that, while it needs to, you know, protect itself, it's a receiver. Don't need to protect it that much. Don't need to protect a human being inside of it. That brings the price down a little bit, eh? Yeah. Hello. Interesting story. SOCOM boss, that is Special Operations Command, : adversaries are disabling Air Force gunships in Syria. Now, that's a bad thing, okay, because those, you've heard people come on and talk, and whenever we talk about the Spectre gunships, it's with incredible reverence, because those things are beast-like, okay? But this is the march of technology and weapons that has always been part of the evolution of war, if you will, or the evolution of combat. Pick one of those. For instance, during the Civil War, you had people walking around in formations, right? Very close formations, so you could control people, because you couldn't trust that they would still go forward if you spread them out, right? Hell, they'll run away. Well, what happens is that was okay for muskets, because muskets were not very accurate. But all of a sudden, somebody added rifling to a musket. Okay? And what that rifling did, so the grooves that twist through the rifle, it made that Brown fly straight and true. And the casualty, the casualties that you see in the American Civil War are in large amount because rifles have changed, tactics didn't until Spotsylvania, Emory Upton is his name. I want to say he's a brigadier general, and he spreads everybody out. I don't know if he just got sick of watching it, but he spread everybody out and got them out of that stupid formation, and they overwhelmed whoever they were fighting. Everybody looked around like, well, that went all right. Most of us are still alive, and we kicked their ass. Let's do that again. And so it was the advent of open order formation. So the counterbalance to a more accurate rifle is to spread out, become a more difficult target, don't stand up and march, bound into the assault, blah, 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 blah. So this spiral goes on. So, you know, with tanks, armor, okay, now we get a bigger gun. Now we need more armor. Now we have an even bigger gun. Now we need more armor. Now what we're going to do is instead of the armor being lined up vertically, we're going to rotate it like 45 degrees, which thickens it. Same weight, but it's thicker in certain parts of the tank. Woo! Yeah. So all that kind of stuff. It's the evolution of combat. So anyway, it goes on. Adversaries in Syria are attempting to use aggressive electronic warfare capabilities to disable AC-130 gunships. And that was said in a press conference. General Tony Thomas, commander of SOCOM, said at the U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Foundation 2018 symposium that the military is being tested daily by adversaries trying to use electronic warfare, or EW as it's known. Right now in Syria, we're in the most aggressive EW environment on the planet from our adversaries. They're testing us every day, knocking our communications down, disabling our AC-130s, etc. A little bit of an aside. Thomas used the aside to illustrate the importance of technology such as intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance in SOCOM's operations. Citing operational security reasons, SOCOM declined to provide specific information about the impact of electronic warfare on their operations. They went on. The subject of the part of General Thomas's presentation you are referring to was the capabilities United States Special Operations Command needs to provide our operators to maximize their effectiveness. During the presentation, he pointed out factors the U.S. military has to deal with in today's operating environment as illustrations. Yeah. But again, the use of drones, weaponizing of small drones, the use of what are called drone swarms, which is a bunch of those to drop weapons, even if they dropped a hand grenade, right? Imagine a dozen hand grenades all of a sudden going off in your position. You've been neutralized, or at least a portion of your command has been neutralized. How do you stop that? So, I mean, very, very low-level stuff, but, you know, our adversaries use that. And that's before the Russians and the Chinese get involved. So, interesting stuff. Early bird top five. Cover that real quick before Dan Lamoth shows up. One. The Corps is on track to fully field the M38 marksman rifle, despite setbacks of the M27 IAR. So we've talked about that controversy, and so it must have been a slow news weekend if that's the number one story. But I've told you before, I don't know if these are ranked, like, or these are just like, yeah, throw a blanket over five of them. But whoever's ranked doing the ranking needs to go back to school on how to rank. Number two, Army investigates 101st Airborne chaplains accused of dismantling on-post programs for Jewish soldiers. Okay. Three, fired 7th Fleet Admiral speaks out for what caused the Fitzgerald and the McCain. This is the Navy Times. Number four, it's a story we just talked about. SOCOM adversaries are disabling Air Force gunships in Syria. 5, termites, worms, mold, and rocks. What? Al Udeid? 5-star dining provides only the finest culinary experience. Anyway. Retired Vice Admiral Joseph Acoin was fired by the 7th Fleet on August 23rd, just a few days after the destroyer McCain collided with the tanker near Singapore. A few months before that, 7 other sailors, there was 10 killed aboard the McCain, 7 more killed on the Fitzgerald, I want to say in late June. Since then, Navy leadership has decried lack of readiness, maintenance, and training among ships based out of Japan and across the surface fleet in general. While writing in the Naval Institute's Proceeding magazine this month, Acoin takes issue with how Navy leadership characterizes shortcomings in a comprehensive review and strategic readiness review done in the wake of the disasters. The comprehensive review and strategic review and some media reporting could lead one to the impression my staff and I were oblivious to or unconcerned about the manning, training, and maintenance deficiencies affecting my ships and their ability to carry out their assigned missions, Acoin writes. That is not the case. All right, let me take a look at that. That will certainly be very, very interesting to check out, because again, the number of incidents that happened in the Pacific Fleet was astounding. So this will be the subject of a future program, trust me. So that is in the news today, and then top headline in Stars and Stripes: South Korean president says Donald Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. South Korea's president said Monday that his U.S. counterpart, Donald Trump, deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts to end the crisis over North Korea's nuclear weapons. Can you imagine that? People would have a conniption fit. Absolute conniption fit. In a rebranding, North Korean leader shows the world his lighter side. He joked about missile tests and expressed embarrassment about the state of his country's transit infrastructure. Yeah, again, if he's doing Lucy with a football, he's doing a hell of a job, so we're going to see. Because the president has tweeted things that are very optimistic, which leads one to believe that he's already agreed to stuff with Pompeo. Admiral Ronnie Jackson, who was the appointee at the VA, will not return as the president's physician. Here's another headline that you don't see anywhere else. North Korean leader says he's not a person to launch nuclear weapons at the United States. What? What is going on? What is going on the planet? I mean, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I don't know. If he's doing Lucy with the football, Grant Newsham, cautiously pessimistic. I get all that. But, as I said, every time that guy opens his mouth, he gets my attention. Yeah, no kidding. Every time he opens his mouth. Again, educated in Switzerland, blah, 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 blah. I guess we'll see. All right, we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Dan Lamoth going to join us. He has the Washington Post. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.